Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the lovely, the talented Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. We appreciate you being with us on a Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. It is hump day here.
Hump day?
Yes, indeed it is. I can't get enough. It's the 15th of November, Mr. Zommers. We're halfway through November, for goodness sake.
Remember the 15th? That's not how it goes.
By the way, we also I dropped the ball, at least. We completely forgot to play the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Just play it over and over.
Right. Well, back in the day, I was telling Mr. Zommers this story. Back in the day when I worked at WRCO in Richland Center, Southwest Wisconsin, and now, of course, RCO and the AMRCE belong to and are part of Civic Media. And back in the day, we played vinyl, no computers. Back in the day, we played actual vinyl records, and you were working alone at the station at night, and nature called. And you might have to, take a seat for a couple of minutes. Well, you couldn't just... There were no computers to keep things going, so you had to think of the longest song possible. And I would say nine times out of 10, if you tuned into your radio and you heard playing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, it meant that nature had called and the DJ needed some extra time.
Now, that's all I can think of anytime I hear that song.
It's a great song, by the way. Gordon Lightfoot, a little over 8 minutes long, I believe, the full song.
It's something like that.
Yeah, and it's a great tribute. Of course, we're talking about this iron ore ship was on Lake Superior in the 70s and went down in really bad weather when the winds of November came early, as the song says. I was like 6 or 7 when it happened. I remember it happening. And then, for whatever reason, the first time I remember hearing that song was in my parents' Oldsmobile Delta 88. And it was mixed in with that song came on, and then they mixed it in with, like, radio footage covering the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, interesting.
It was very powerful.
I bet.
Yeah, it was well done. So we remember the souls that were lost to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in November, and we are deer hunting this weekend coming up. Are you deer hunting? You bear hunt. Do you deer hunt?
I do some years. This year, at least this weekend, I will not be because Nate Wegehout is. I'm covering for him on some shows here. And also, one of my friends had some concert tickets this weekend, and he got COVID, so he emailed them to me.
I called my former boss. I'm going to be in Richland Center this weekend, not to hunt this year, but just I called my former boss, Dale Schultz. I said, a mutual friend of ours is going to be in town. Do you want to have lunch on Friday? And there was this, or Saturday, and there was this pause as if they'll have you lost your mind. And he said, no, unless you want to bring lunch to my deer stand. And I said, oh, Jesus, right? It's opening weekend of gun deer season. So to all the hunters out there, good luck. Be safe. Be smart about it. Don't drink and hunt. But have a great time. We wish you all success out there on the hunt. It's going to be warm. No tracking. No snow for tracking this year. So,
yeah, maybe don't put on too many layers.
Right. That's the worst thing, right? When you dress too warm and you go on a drive and then you're just sweating and then you got to stand for another 2 hours. Ugh, hate that.
Yeah, it's nasty.
I don't like that at all. So anyway, that's what's coming up later on this weekend and all of you on the roads this weekend. Be safe as well. Time now, once again, for what is worse? Mr. Zommers, here we go. What's worse?
This or that. The choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with
that's
that.
That's right. Time once again for what's worse. There are no prizes, no money involved, only bragging rights and your chance to voice your opinion across statewide radio and around the world on the Civic Media app. Don't have the app? Now is a perfect time to download it on your Apple or iPhone device. Just go to your search engine or your search bar in your app store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, and it will come up. takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gayle King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Here we go. I'm going there, Mr. Zommers. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't want to ruffle feathers, but I'm just going to put it out there. We're going to see what happens.
Oh, boy. Buckle up.
Here we go. All right. What's worse? Bad automotive drivers, bad drivers, or bad bikers? Give me your take. What's worse? Bad drivers, people that speed in their cars and trucks or run a stoplight occasionally or run a yellow light, or bad bikers? I'm talking not motorcyclers, but peddlers. Bicycles that blow through intersections. No, drive the wrong way. No regard for traffic laws at all.
Just turn across traffic without looking.
Exactly. What's worse, bad drivers or bad bikers? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Just text us, hit the button, you can get right through, or you can call us there as well. There's a button to call in as well. What's worse, bad drivers or bad bikers? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Appleton. Cindy in Appleton, thanks for listening and calling in. What's worse?
Bad drivers of vehicles, because they are everywhere. Where I am at, there's not that many people on bikes, and I think if you're a biker and you're doing stupid stuff like that, a car is going to kill you. So, but I think bad car drivers by far.
I think you bring up a great point, Cindy, and that is this: the answer to this question largely lies in where you live. Right? I mean, because in your community, you're saying you don't have all that many bicyclers, peddlers, but a lot more drivers.
Nope.
I think that's a great point. Yep. All right, so you vote for bad drivers. All right, thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it. Cindy up there at Appleton. What's worse, bad drivers or bad bikers? And we're talking like peddlers. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
You know, Cindy's point actually makes me think bad drivers do impact more people, but a bad biker might be worse because you don't expect them. If, let's say, you live in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, not a lot of people biking.
Where you're from.
And then you come to Madison and there's somebody who just cuts across traffic. You're not used to that. So you might actually hit them.
That's a great point. But I love the fact that Cindy is bringing this up, that location, like they say in real estate, location, location, location. Geography, location plays into how you answer this question.
It really does.
Because like where I'm from originally, out in Richland Center, 5,000 people in southwest Wisconsin, you know, you see an occasional biker in town. Rarely see one unless there's like a bike race in the area, like Grabar or whatever it is. Rarely see one out on a county road once in a while. So it's not a huge issue. But you do see more drivers driving, you know, you get people texting or people crossing lines or blowing through stoplights or whatever. But if you live here in Madison, like we do now, the bad biker thing is an issue. At least it is for me. And look, I'm not saying I'm anti-bike. I'm just saying if you have a bicycle and you're going to drive in Madison or ride in Madison, I think you should have to obey the basic tenets of the stop signs. I mean, you should have to obey the law. Just because you're on a bike doesn't mean you can't not stop at a stop sign.
Right.
And I see this all the time. Also, what really annoys me is we have these new crossings now in Madison with the bright lights and all this kind of stuff. And people think that if they're joggers or bikers, that they could just blow through these crosswalks without stopping and hitting the light.
Yeah, and sometimes the thing that I don't like about joggers or just people crossing the street is when you see the slight turn in their heads, like you're coming up and like, you know, they saw you, but they pretend they didn't and just start walking.
And like what, well, you have to stop because I'm a biker or I'm a walker. Well, I'm driving a 2-ton truck. Even if I'm going the speed limit, I can't stop on a dime.
Much to that point, Andrew from Verona texted in and said, bad drivers are worse. They're sitting behind thousands of pounds of metal that can kill me. Bad bikers, they'll just get themselves killed. Well, and yes, that is a good point. That's why I think my answer, even though I've been talking about the bikers, I think I agree with Andrew from Verona.
The bad drive, the drivers are worse.
They put more other people in danger besides just yourself.
All right.
Although pulling out in front of traffic could cause cars to hit each other. Like,
well, it puts yourself in danger, in my opinion. But what's worse? What do you think? What's worse, bad drivers or bad bikers? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And let me allow my, if I could, let me clarify. I am very pro bicycle. I think it's great exercise. It's environmentally friendly. I'm all for it. And I'm really especially for bike trails, right? Because I think with all the distracted driving going on by people in vehicles, there's no way that I would ride a bicycle like on a main street, like on Mineral Point Road in Madison or something like that. No way. Just because of all the distracted driving going on and all the crazy drivers on the Beltline right now in Madison. I went to get groceries. I think it was Sunday night. There were two sets of cars essentially drag racing on the Beltline. And I'm not exaggerating. They were going 80, 85, 90 miles an hour. And how they did not cause a crash, I will never know. But you got people like that. You got Yahoo's, you know, street racing and places. And of course, you know, this is a whole another issue, but Madison, they're making their streets smaller and fewer lanes for motorists. So it just makes the congestion even worse. Anyway, what's worse, bad drivers or bad bikers? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789.
We have another texter from WRCE listening over in Richland Center. The bikers seem more dangerous, especially with electric bikes. They can go faster, and as a delivery driver, they really seem to come out of nowhere.
That is another outstanding point. Because now, you don't just have your pedal bikes. Now you've got these electric bikes. And God love people that are doing the electric bikes. They're fantastic. But you're right. People on electric bikes think that the same rules apply to them as someone pedaling. So I've been walking down the sidewalk in Madison and some yahoo on an electric bike, probably going 15, 20 miles an hour, zips past me.
On the other hand, though, I do see a lot of people in Madison doing like appropriate hand signals and looking around. And I want to let you people know, I see you. I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. And to all those pedal bikers out there, electric bikers following along, God love you. And all the yahoo is driving vehicles that are not obeying the speed laws. Curses to you. Anyway, back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We've got a look at Looney Tune characters as well. The Todd Ball Show on Civic Media. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy to have you with us. Coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, we will welcome back to the program Brian Van Hooker of Crack.com, writer there, staff writer, does a great job, and wrote a great article on the 100 greatest Looney Tune characters of all time. Now, we're not going to go through all 100, mind you, but we're going to go through some of them. And I think for those of us who grew up in an era where there were Saturday morning cartoons and there was no, well, especially when I was really young, there were no VCRs, at least that our family could afford. All that was for rich people. Finally, later on in middle school or high school, we got our first VCR, but you didn't really VCR or record cartoons. And so you had to get up. And it was always ironic that our parents, at least my parents, my mother, could not get me up to go to school. And you know, I wouldn't wake up. I'd actually, you know, there were, this is a true story. My mother actually one time or a couple of different times would bring in an ice cube and throw on my back under the covers to get me out of bed to get to school. Did your parents have to do that? Or did you get up pretty easily?
I got up pretty easily most of the time.
Really? Not so much. I don't know why. But come Saturday morning, Todd would be up and early, like at 7:30, in order to see the cartoons. You know, and back in the day, I mean, you had Super Friends, right? The League of Justice, where you had Batman and Robin and Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman, you know, all taking on these other, you know, villains. So you had that. You had Grape Ape, Speed Buggy, Smurfs, you know, later on. The Smurfs came in. Hong Kong Phooey. It was also a great show.
That's one I haven't heard of.
he was a mild-mannered dog by day, but when crime ensued, he turned into Hong Kong Phooey. He had Scooby-Doo, of course.
Oh, you gotta love Scooby-Doo.
What about the Laugh Olympics? The Laugh Olympics, where you had some of these other characters from the shows, and they would compete, like in, what was the thing on ABC, the Olympics of the Stars, or Battle of the Network Stars. It was kind of like that for cartoon characters.
Interesting.
And, yeah. So the Laugh Olympics, that was, and the Addams Family was on, was a TV show for, Star Trek was actually a Saturday morning series for a brief time.
The original one?
Yeah. Yeah. So like Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and all those. So anyway, you would get up and you would watch the, and of course the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour was one of my all time favorites. All these Looney Tunes characters. So we're going to be going through those in a bit. Look, see, I'm already enthralled.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Saturday morning cartoons are completely a thing of the past. Well,
they kind of are, aren't they?
They weren't when I was little.
All right.
I still watched those.
Yeah.
But now I guess with streaming and with just give your kid a tablet, pop them on kids' YouTube, which by the way, little micro soapbox moment. Don't do that.
All right.
Kids' YouTube is filled with so much crap.
Is it really?
Yeah. That just exploits the tendencies of children and their attention spans.
Well, not like on Saturday morning, I'll watch CBS Saturday morning, get your regular news. And then it's like, I don't know, it's like educational stuff for kids. It's like, you know, hey, I'm a scientist and I'm making this cool stuff and I'm going to teach you something. And I think that's fine. You know, they got a show called Lucky Dog, where it's about, you know, finding a home for shelter dogs. And that's fine. That's great. But it's not cartoon. I guess because now you got the Cartoon Network and streaming and all this other stuff.
Well, yeah. Cartoon Network is one of the channels that I watched on Saturday mornings. There's that. There's Disney, Nickelodeon. It was mostly flipping between those three.
Got it. See, that's how old I am. Because it was like CBS, NBC, ABC.
Oh, yeah. Saturday morning cartoons are definitely a thing of the past on those networks.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll be talking about that here in a couple of minutes. I wanted to bring up before we went any further, because we've been talking about a lot about Badger sports and football and their miseries and the Badger basketball team, who I really truly do believe is going to be good this year. They completely fell apart last night out in Rhode Island. I don't want to talk. I'm going to say what happened last night to the men's Badger basketball team is a one-off. All right. I'm just going to say that. They lost like by whatever it was, 14, 15 points. It was terrible. Marquette, on the other hand, our friends in Milwaukee, Marquette is doing fantastic. Shaka Smart has the Marquette team just doing fantastic. So congratulations to them. But I want to take a minute to recognize the longstanding program of the Badger women's hockey team and also the men's Badger hockey team, which are both ranked number one in the polls this week. According to Channel 3000 here in Madison, it might be time to officially declare Wisconsin as a hockey school. And I would add parenthetically, again. Because, look, when I was coming up in the 80s, men's hockey was the thing. We didn't have women's hockey yet. But, I mean, you had, you know, Bob Johnson, and then you had Jeff Sauer, and they were winning national championships. And the men's hockey ticket at the Coliseum here in Madison was the hottest ticket in town. And the football team, of course, sucked at the time in the 1980s. And the men's basketball team wasn't a whole lot better. And so now, once again, Wisconsin may be a hockey school. Both of the University of Wisconsin's hockey teams currently sit at number one in the country. In the latest polls released on Monday, the Badger women picked up 17 of 21st place votes in their division, and the women in the women's poll this week, and Ohio State picking up the remaining three votes. They play each other this week, by the way. Those two will face off, speaking of, on Friday and Saturday to essentially decide who the undisputed top team is in women's hockey so far this season. Wisconsin is an undefeated at 12-0, while Ohio State is 9-1. And I believe, if memory serves, this is a rematch of last year's national championship, in which the Badgers beat the Buckeyes for their record 7th national championship under original and still head coach Mark Johnson. And for my money, if there is anybody in the state of Wisconsin in the sports world that deserves to have a statue erected in their honor, it is Mark Johnson. He won a national championship when he was a men's hockey player at Wisconsin. He won a gold medal. He was part of that Miracle on Ice team that beat the Soviet Union in the Olympics. And then he came back and has been the coach, the original coach of the women's hockey team, and still is, and has won 7 national championships. I think the women's hockey team here at Wisconsin is one of the under-heralded programs in the state of Wisconsin. And those women that play that sport and work their butts off deserve a heck of a lot of credit, because they have brought Wisconsin, other than probably the track and cross-country team, I don't know any other program in the last 50 years at Wisconsin who has won more national titles than women's hockey. So congratulations to them, and good luck as they take on Ohio State on Friday and Saturday. Now, the Wisconsin men, meanwhile, are enjoying a resurgence under first-year head coach Mike Hastings. They're coming off a 9-1 start and jumped from number 3 to number 1 during the past week, and they earned 32 first-place votes. So congratulations to Mark Hastings, doing a great job of turning around Wisconsin's men's hockey. So men, women hockey program, our salute to you. Thank you for carrying on the Badger tradition. Back on the other side with Brian Van Hooker, 100 greatest Looney Tune characters of all time. Not going to want to miss it. Stay with us on the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. What an energy. I see, Mr. Zomers, if we only had that kind of intro music every day. I mean,
we could.
We could, right? But I mean, even back then, they knew how to introduce a piece.
They absolutely did.
Fantastic.
Also, recently, I've been practicing slide guitar, and one of the first times I picked up the guitar with the slide, just like picked 2 random strings, plucked it, and I was like, holy crap, that's the beginning of the Looney Tunes theme.
It's a great tune. There's so many great memories. And here to discuss it with us, we welcome back to the program, Brian Van Hooker. You can find his work at cracked.com. Great writer, great article here. Brian, first of all, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Great to have you with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, and it's our pleasure. And with all the craziness going on in the news, I think it's good sometimes to pause and reflect and look at the lighter side of life and things that we could all relate to. And we were talking before we had you on in the last piece there, or last segment. Mr. Zomers and I were talking about our own childhoods, and I said, look, I'm of the age where Looney Tunes characters and cartoons, that was the central part of television. There was no Comedy Central. You actually had to get your butt up at 7 or 7:30 on a Saturday morning and tune into CBS or NBC or what have you to watch the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. And these are just classic cartoons for a lot of us that you don't see anymore.
Yeah, I grew up with Looney Tunes as well. It's something I've loved my whole life. And, we've been doing a lot of these big lists at Cracked lately, like the 100 greatest Simpsons characters, the 100 greatest South Park characters, etc. And I thought we could do it for Looney Tunes, because there are a lot of great characters, a lot of great cartoons, and yeah, so
that was
our thought.
As you wrote this piece, and again, it's called The 100 Greatest Looney Tune Characters, written by Brian Van Hooker, and you can find it at cracked.com. What was kind of the qualifier? How did you sort out all the characters? How did you rank them?
We kind of went back and forth on how many modern characters to include. For a while, I don't know if you're familiar with Tiny Toons. That was a show I grew up with.
Some way.
And there was a debate on whether or not those would be in the list or whatever. Ultimately, it was decided, let's stick with Looney Tunes, but if a modern character has had a huge impact, like, say, Lola Bunny from Space Jam, she would make it in. But there's really only two characters in the whole list that weren't in the original shorts.
Wow.
And that's Lola Bunny and the Monstars from the first Space Jam movie. As far as how we rank them, I made a point to kind of get like the best people I possibly could to rank them. I just wanted to be I love Looney Tunes. I have lots of opinions on them, but I just wanted to be a facilitator for people who are more qualified than myself. So I got people like Ruth Clampett and Bob McKimson Jr., who are the descendants of two of the great Looney Tunes directors, Bob Clampett and Bob McKimson. So they're both their children. I got a guy named Bob Bergen, who's done the voice of Porky Pig and Tweety pretty much since Mel Blanc passed away. And Jeff Bergman, who's done the voice of almost every other Looney Tunes character since Mel Blanc passed away. A guy named Tom Ruger, who was the producer of Tiny Toons and who did shows like Animaniacs and is a huge Looney Tunes guy. A couple of historians like Jerry Beck, Andrew Farrago, an artist named Dave Alvarez, as well as a couple of Looney Tunes super fans. So I kind of got them all together for the most part. A couple were interviewed separately, and we kind of hashed out who's the top 15, and then we went down from there as who's the bottom, who's the top, and it was kind of it was a fun discussion that we managed to wrangle 100 characters. And considering Looney Tunes is from a certain era, I was cautious. I didn't want to have too many characters that were date poorly, to put mildly. So there actually ended up being very, very few of those. So I'm
impressed. This is just, you know, a couple of guys sitting around over a beer, you know, throwing darts at a board. I mean, you actually took this seriously. I mean, to your credit, and went to some of these historic people or has a historic litany or liturgy to these characters. This is fantastic. So this is serious stuff. And I appreciate the dedication with which you went about it. Let's get right into it. Do you have a couple that right off the top of the bat that are your personal favorites that you as a kid whether it's a personal favorite or not, you just think deserve beyond maybe the top two or three, but you deserve that you need to be ranked?
A personal favorite of mine is Michigan J. Frog. I love that character. He was in one cartoon, One Froggy Evening. But that character's had a huge impact, and that cartoon is a great, perfect piece of comedy. And that character went on to host the WB network for a few years, and he's in merchandise, all this stuff. So even though he's only in one cartoon, I thought this is maybe a top 10 character. I was overruled by the experts, and I think he ended up at number 17. But I'm happy with 17 because it's still a high ranking for a character who was in one cartoon.
What was the cartoon that he was in? To describe kind of the piece that he was in.
It's One Froggy Evening. This guy, unnamed, finds this. He's a construction worker guy, and he finds this box in a construction site, and he opens up the box, and it's this dull, nothing, normal frog. And then suddenly the frog jumps up and starts singing, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal." And the frog, so he thinks immediately, I'm going to make $1 million off it. I'm going to be rich off this thing. So he brings it to agents and things like that. But every time he opens up the box in front of other people, the frog does nothing. It's just a normal frog. So the frog, from there, his greed goes on to ruin his own life. And every time he tries to make rich off the frog, nobody ever sees the frog do anything other than him. So it's just perfect comedy. And again, I thought it would bring Michigan J to the top 10, but I was slightly off.
So. I agree with you. And now that you say that, I guess when I think about it, yeah, I only remember him from that one piece, but they showed it so many times. I mean, I guess in my mind, I thought it was in more than one bit.
Yeah, no, just the one. That's just the one. I mean, he may have made modern appearances, you know, other movies, whatever. But like, he's in the one short. That's it.
If you don't dial it up, because if you haven't seen it, because it's one of my all time favorites too. I mean, hello my baby, hello my darling, hello my ragtime girl. Yeah. It's a great bit. Another personal favorite of yours?
Another personal favorite is the Gremlin from a short called Falling Hair. I forget what number he came in. He came in at number 32. Okay. Again, another character who was only in one short. It was this, in most shorts, Bugs Bunny was always got the better of everybody else. But every once in a while, somebody would get the better of Bugs. Mm-hmm. And the Turtle is very well known for that. Cecil the Turtle, because he'd always beat him in the races.
Yeah.
Right. And the Gremlin was another one in a short called Falling Hair was my favorite Bugs Bunny short. One of two of my favorites. In a short called Falling Hair by Bob Clampett. And it's just this bunny who is terrorizing Bugs Bunny. It's just this little monster who's terrorizing Bugs Bunny for 7 minutes, and it's fantastic.
That's great. Looking, just scrolling through this, what I love about this is there are characters here that you may have forgotten, at least I'd forgotten about. Once you see them, like, oh, yeah, and they played second fiddle to the main person. And one of them at 93 is Slowpoke Rodriguez. And this is like, you know, Speedy Gonzalez's friend who always isn't quite as smart, isn't quite as fast, but it's a hilarious little character.
Yeah, he's a tough one. He was one that we struggled with. Like, do we include him? Because there is, I mean, he is definitely based on a racial stereotype. So we were like, do we want to include this guy? And it's like, he certainly is memorable. He does get the better of Sylvester in the short. So he's not like a completely horrific little character.
Right.
And he's super memorable. So it was more like, okay, well, this character is important enough to include on the list. But let's just be aware that, like, let's just address the fact that, yeah, Looney Tunes is from the 40s. Not every view is going to be perfect, but this character still matters and should make it on the list.
And this is a larger discussion where you don't need to go down the road too far. But in my mind, unless it's just completely off the wall in today's world, I think there is a certain time when you have to look at these pieces of work through the lens of the era in which they were created and lived, and you can't necessarily apply 2023 lenses to something that was done in the 1940s.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I think it was. We didn't want to exclude a character simply because they've aged poorly or in some cases horrendously.
Right.
There's a character called Bosco who was high on the list. Bosco is number 29, and he was a stereotype of an African-American child back in the 30s. But, like, the history of that was obscured. So his voice sounded like Mickey Mouse in a lot of the shorts. Mm. And they never showed the earliest shorts, what was clear, where they use a racial stereotype. So even though he's the very first Looney Tunes cartoon, it's important to include him as part of the history. But then the whole article goes on to explain, like, yeah, this is unacceptable. Certainly by modern standards, it should have been unacceptable then. But this is the very first Looney Tunes character, so let's address that history rather than pretend it didn't exist. So.
Yeah, well done. At number 87, this one in particular, I think, should be put on Ron DeSantis's campaign literature, the Tasmanian She-Devil, which is essentially the Tasmanian Devil in drag. And I love it. I mean, every part of it.
Yes. I mean, she is a separate character. She marries Tasmanian Devil, but the design, they didn't work really hard with figuring out how do we design this character.
I mean, it's just the Tasmanian Devil in high heels and lipstick and a veil, basically.
Yeah, there's nothing. They're like, just put a bow on it. That's a girl.
Right, exactly.
Minnie Mouse logic.
number 84, again, someone who I'd forgotten, but I actually, in real life, I have used this name before. I don't know why. A memorable character, Black Jacques Chirac. I mean, just a fantastic character. And again, a little stereotypical maybe of French people or what have you, Italians. But I mean, it's a fantastic character.
Yeah, he's a funny one. Good Bugs villain. I think he was only in one or two shorts. It's just one of those characters that has a great name. Like, he's not like high up there like Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam, but like a funny little villain who carries a short or two, and that's it. So
I think it's just been fun to say the name. Black Jacques
Chirac. Great name. Also, the Shropshire Slasher is another character like that. Just funny name, funny drawing. That's all it took to make a memorable character.
Any other one? I want to get kind of the top 10 here eventually, but any other ones that stand out to you?
You know, one I thought was really cool is, and it kind of gave me a new appreciation for this, is number 76 and 75. Mm-hmm. 76 is a character called the Draft Horse, which was a very 1940s flag-waving pro-World War II cartoon. This horse wants to be drafted to the army. It's a whole short about that. It's very cute. Great cartoon. Mm-hmm. Number 75 is a little guy. It's the character is the little man from the draft board. It's from a short called Drafty Daffy, where the short starts with Daffy Duck listening to the radio, and the Allied forces have just won some battle. Daffy's all patriotic. He's all happy about this. And he gets a knock at the door, and it's a man from the draft board serving him his draft notice. Mm-hmm. And from there, Daffy Duck proceeds to run away from this man. He tries to kill him. He does all these things not to get drafted. And this came out in 1945. And you think about it, like, it was such a daring cartoon because it's borderline unpatriotic given the sensibilities of the times.
Oh, yeah.
And it is crazy funny because all it is Daffy doing everything he can not to serve his country. And it's great. It's so funny.
And I think that's a great point is that even though a lot of these cartoons made me as a kid laugh a lot, you could tell now in hindsight, there was some messaging going on there to a larger audience.
There were never for kids. I mean, Looney Tunes shorts aired in front of regular movies that adults watched. So the Looney Tunes were never meant for kids. Eventually, animation became more child-centric. But when the Looney Tunes came out in the 30s, 40s, 50s, never meant for kids.
Very interesting. Number 66, one of my all-time favorites, Penelope Pussycat. And this to me represents every person, male, female, what have you, that has just been like pursued by someone that they have no interest in and get away from me. And she personifies this, and I love everything about her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's on there. Obviously she was the foil to Pepe Le Pew, who's had a little bit of a rough go of things lately. He was edited out of the previous
really? We're gonna come
he
back.
Edited and... out of, oh yeah, he's edited out of Space Jam 2.
Really? But... I wanna know more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're talking to Brian Van Hooker, the 100 best Looney Tune characters of all time, back after this on the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Network news followed by a quick check of weather. And then our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will be in with you for another 2 hours. Do not go anywhere. History being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take you there with the latest news and commentary. Matt Flynn Direct after the top of the hour. Right now, we are honored to be joined by Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com. If you are a fan of animation, if you used to watch Looney Tune characters, if you still do, you want to check out this article at Cracked.com called The 100 Greatest Looney Tune Characters. It is a trip down memory lane, and it is just a joy and also fascinating, Brian Van Hooker, to hear the history of these characters.
Yeah, no, I really get excited about these kinds of things. So I know before the break, we were talking about Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, because Pepe Le Pew, one of my favorite all-time characters. Did he get caught up in the Me Too movement? What's going on here?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there was a piece. Gosh. Yeah, I mean, he kind of did. And you can kind of see why. He's a character who is constantly forcing himself on people. Like, I understand that the character would need to change if they were to make modern pieces.
Right.
It's also a character never meant to be admired. The character is an idiot.
Right, exactly.
And like, so like that was the point where like we had our historian, a guy named Jerry Beck, who's a very accomplished animation historian, film historian, point to the fact that this character was never meant to be a role model. He is something we're laughing at, not laughing with.
Exactly.
But because of that, the kind of lecherous nature of Pepe Le Pew. He was taken out of Space Jam. And
I am opposed to that.
I agree. But it's also like I understand how the character would need to change for the times.
Well, of course.
But yeah, to your point, like any character.
To your point, I mean, it's like, you know, you couldn't put All in the Family on today's show and have Archie Bunker on because of the outrageousness of it. But the whole point of Norman Lear was you're laughing at Archie Bunker. He's the idiot.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to represent, you know, that you're not, you don't want to be like that character. And to me, Pepe Le Pew was every person, male, female, whatever your gender or sexuality, we've all had or encountered or know of a person who thinks so much of themselves and they're an idiot and they keep trying to just pursue someone they'll never get.
I mean, that, and when I was growing up, and I mean, forever, that character is a huge character.
I love Pepe Le Pew.
So we put him in the, he ended up in the lucky number 13 spot, which you thought, like, he's a high ranking character, deserves to be a high ranking character. So let's just put him in there,
right.
But be aware that, yeah.
So, before we get to the top 10, number 65, one of my all time favorites, Hugo the Abominable Snowman.
He's a good one. I like that one. I mean, it's one of those ones that you like don't know the name of or anything, but you know parts of it. And it's one of many of Mice and Men parodies in Looney Tunes. Mice and Men is in so many Looney Tunes shorts, and Hugo's yet another Lenny.
And what is, if you don't know the name, like Brian's saying, one of the lines is, you know, I'll pet him, I'll take him home, I'll pet him, I'll keep him, I'll name him George.
Yeah.
I love that line. All right, let's go quickly to the top 10 because I don't want to run out of time. Number 10.
Number 10 ended up being Speedy Gonzalez. Another character.
Fantastic.
Occasionally in Rocky history, but way beloved.
Yes.
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner?
So he's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, one of his shorts won an Oscar. And he's there's five Looney Tunes shorts of the classic era won Oscars, and one of them was with Speedy Gonzalez.
All right, cool. We gotta run through these so I don't run out of time. Number 9.
Sir, Foghorn Leghorn, my favorite.
I love
of the major cartoons. I love Foghorn Leghorn. Makes me laugh more than any other character by far. He's so funny.
He reminds me of people I grew up with. I'm serious. And that's not a slight to anybody in Richland Center. It just he's a very rural, you know, character who just thinks a lot of himself. Number 8.
Roadrunner.
What about the old?
Who's only
famous.
Slightly out. Yes. And it was only slightly outranked by Wile E. Coyote. Oh, sorry. No, only slightly outranked by Wile E. Coyote because Coyote has more of a personality to him than Roadrunner.
All right. So number
7. Great character.
Number 7.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, right. So there you go. Wile E. Coyote finally won. Beat the Roadrunner by 1 point. Number 6.
Exactly. Yeah.
Number 6.
Tasmanian Devil. Only in a few shorts, but super memorable. And during the 90s, that character was everywhere.
Right.
Sweatshirts, everything.
Yeah, he had a huge comeback.
Yeah.
Right. Number 5.
Tweety.
Great, great character.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny character. Also had a big merchandising impact in the 80s and 90s. Great character.
And number 4, Tweety's foil.
Sylvester, who is in... He was the most Oscar-winning Looney Tunes characters. He was
really?
He was in 3 of those 5 shorts. He's also the most versatile of the main cast. He's a pet. He's a speaking character. He's a father. He's in all kinds of different shorts and different roles. So
that's great. Great character. Number 3,
Porky, who is the character that made Looney Tunes Looney Tunes. He was the first one where they stopped being Mickey Mouse ripoffs and they found their own voice. So
really,
he deserves to be there, if not higher. But yeah, he deserves to be there.
No, Porky Pig, a great, great character. Number 2.
Daffy, which, of course. And there's an added bonus to Daffy being number 2, is that he's slightly outpaced by Bugs as number 1, and that would annoy the heck out of Daffy, which is great.
I mean, the Bugs, Buddy, and Daffy cartoons are just some of the all-time favorite.
They're so great. They're so funny, and those characters, both amazing in their own right, and play off each other even better. So
despicable. What am I? Is it when Bugs Bunny is or Elmer Fudd's trying to go hunting and it's like he doesn't know whether it's duck season or rabbit season or whatever? That's one of my all time favorite ones as well.
They're great. There's 3 of those that are basically all exactly the same and all equally hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're despicable.
Thank you, Mr. Zommer. It's a quote from Daffy Duck himself. Well, Brian Van Hooker, this is an absolutely great article. You can find it at cracked.com. Anything in particular that you're working on besides this great article right now at Cracked that people should check out?
What am I working on? No, I mean, I'm working on a bunch of stuff, but I can't say in case they don't come through or whatever. So who knows? Lots of good stuff on the horizon, but yeah, there's plenty coming out. So
that's just fantastic. I still appreciate you taking this time, and I appreciate the fact that you know the history behind these characters. That's what makes this piece work. Brian Van Hooker from Cracked, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned next. We have Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct coming up. We want to thank Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson also for being on today's show, in addition to Brian Van Hooker, who you just heard. Thanks to Mr. Zommers for doing a great job on the board. And, of course, you all for listening, whether it's over the air on the Civic Media Radio Network or on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you find us. We thank you for it. Stay tuned for Matt Flynn Direct. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep banging on your drum.